they've asked us all to talk
into
the mic.
Let's not have genuine connection in human life.
Because on that last one, we were getting a bit off mic because we were all excited about what a prick Stu is with his saving lives.
Dear. Cheers, guys.
Let the guy die. That's
but yeah, we're rolling. So I'll do an intro and then we'll jump in.
Can I have a Scroobius, please?
No, because I'm running out of gin.
Man, they're grim.
And you've got beers.
Do you want vodka?
Yes, please, Brett.
What's a Scroobius?
It's gin and Pepsi Max. I invented it and it's very popular.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's not popular.
I mean, we'll call that the start of the podcast because it plugs the Scroobius again.
This is fucking delightful.
It's done.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
What
this
are you
is
having?
The Distraction Pieces podcast. Drunk cast. It's only episode 2 and we're talking over each other and drinking.
Can I get a buttload?
Ramesh is on the crack and rum.
Actually, I don't even.
Stu has moved from Scroobius's to a vodka and Pepsi Max, which I don't know what that's called. Is that a Brett? Is that a Goldstein?
That's a Goldstein.
It's a classic Goldstein. That's the intro out of the way. We're brought to you by a Redshift Rebels, clothing by a guy who buys his jeans from Tesco's.
Wouldn't wear his own stuff.
Do you really have clothing like?
Yeah.
They should have bought some
what,
stuff.
You make it?
Do you make it? The husky gentleman?
No.
I'll run it with him and I'll wear it, so yeah. you'll be good.
It's stuff
that
you'd like, Ramesh, like the caps and that you'd absolutely love.
Can I just say, I know that I've been taking the piss out of like advertising stuff.
Yeah.
But you sent me, you know the top that you sent me with your face and sort of done up as a...
Yeah, the Motorhead type.
Yeah, mate, I've been getting so much love for that top.
Yeah.
Like, people
it's
actually
banger,
think I'm cool just purely because I'm wearing that.
It's so a banger. Good. I love it. It goes down well with... Yeah, I was almost did an ugly Christmas jumper. Everyone keeps pushing, we've got ugly Christmas jumpers. And I was like, no, I've just got a nice jumper that you can wear all year round. It's my
Do you know what I've bought? This is bad.
Hang on.
Have we started?
Let's drop the intro music. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. So, Ramesh, what have you bought?
I've bought, because I thought this year I wanted to go all out with the Christmas shit, right?
Yeah.
So I've bought a Christmas costume. You know, like you get a Christmas jumper?
Yeah.
I've bought Christmas trousers.
Amazing.
It looks like a snowman's giving you a piggyback. Do you know, like it's got the fake legs.
Oh, wow.
That sounds fucking amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Is that just for casual round the house wear, or
thinking for, on Christmas Day, I'm going to wear it around the house. My wife, I arrived yesterday, put it on. Showed Lisa, said, what do you think? She said, I've never found you less attractive.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
That's a direct quote. And that includes when I've been naked in front of you.
Yeah. So, it's a compliment, if anything. It's a compliment. It's an insult for one moment and a compliment for all
exactly.
the rest.
Exactly. That's backfired on you, hasn't it?
Yeah.
a little bit of egg on your face, darling.
turned out lovely. Before we started rolling, Brett and Stu were talking about their mutual friend, Ricky Gervais, you famous fucks.
Oh, fuck him.
So, Ricky, used to manage Stu's band.
Yeah.
And obviously, you've worked with Ricky in
Derek.
Derek. And and have you done the tours at all as well? Any of that stuff?
I've done his work in progress previews.
Brett, ask you? Did you recommend me to Ricky? Because he got me to do his support, and I've got no idea why, except for the fact that you might have said something nice.
He loves you.
There
Straight
you
up.
That's what I was going for.
There you go. That'll do. I got Gittins to ask him to come on the podcast, and he respectfully declined.
When you say respectfully,
Ricky, not Gittins. I respectfully declined to ask.
What did he say? What?
Apparently replied saying something like he's heard good things, but he's really busy and he might do it at another point, but blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I said, well, cool. You like all the rest of my mates, so fine. But yeah, you know, you
But what I'm interested in, if you didn't make this clear, and I would like to ask you many questions about this, you used to have a comedy band.
Yeah.
Go on. What was it called?
It was called Serious Problem. Was it your first ever gig as well?
It's one of the first gigs I went to. Yeah, it was early days of gig, and I used to go and see his band locally, and they would...
What, and you do like stand-up gigs?
No, it was kind of a little bit Beastie Boys, a little bit kind of...
Shit.
A little bit...
Bloodhound Gang pre-Bloodhound Gang, if you know what I mean. It was rap and offensive, and it was silliness.
Yeah.
It was a live band, and you were rapping, weren't you?
And you were the front man?
Yeah, yeah.
So how long did you... Can you rap?
No.
No, yeah, that's why it was a comedy band.
What was your name?
They didn't set out to be a comedy band.
It was all very, very dark.
It was songs about my girlfriend and stuff like that, but for some reason...
They got dubbed a comedy band.
That is hilarious. Right, not the real
you were meant to cry. Why? How long were you a serious problem?
We started when we were like really young, like 11, 12 years old. I was just writing silly songs at school and stuff.
Locally,
like that.
They always had tons of hype because they like you got covered in Enemy and stuff like that, didn't you?
Are you serious, dude?
Yeah.
Why are you not doing this anymore?
Well, like we've done some good stuff. We played with Prodigy and
what?
We've done some good shows and stuff and like. But it was.
I mean, fuck saving someone's life. You did. You supported Prodigy.
What was that bullshit Mexico story?
Why didn't you open with this?
No, but like Ricky weren't famous then. His wife, as I mentioned beforehand, had written This Life and you said Teachers and he was just he was managing. I think he'd managed Elastica as well at that point. He'd done some. Was it Elastica or Suede? Suede. Like, Rick was involved in them
the
early
opposite
of comedy bands.
Is everything you're saying true?
We're just riffing.
It's mysterious world. Yeah.
And yeah, he just he just thought we were really funny. And to me, he was just... I just thought he was a bloke that had a funny laugh.
Yeah.
And seemed like a really stand-up guy. And he got us some good gigs and stuff like that, and got us some press in some mags and things like that. And...
Given that Serious Problem are no longer together, I'm assuming.
No.
What's happened?
We all kind of. The guitarist ended up being offered a gig playing guitar for the Prodigy, funnily enough. And
what was his name then? Because they used to have like the off. Jilted was Giz Butt, wasn't it?
It was Giz got it because John turned it down because we won his competition. And John was like, no, I'm sticking with my band, we're going to make it. I think we split about 2 months later, and then we was all standing
gutted.
Together at V watching
He could have been on
Prodigy.
Jilted,
best
record.
John, imagine what that gig was like for him. Just crying nonsense.
I'm going to be playing the riff on Bare Law. No.
And you guys were like, oh, we're at a Prodigy gig. And he's like, fucking hell.
Are you buzzing? Nah.
No,
in a really dark place. Actually.
Should we go and practice or...
What were your names? It was Deep. Someone's called
Deep. Bit that was that always made me laugh was obviously me and Dan Lesak also was a local lad, so had grown up seeing you guys. And I always remember Dan telling me the message that you sent him when the first time we were on the front page of Enemy. It was When Thou Shout was out, so it was our first single. And it wasn't the full front page, but it was the top corner. It had a little picture of me and it had Thou Shalt Always Kill or whatever. And you emailed Dan saying... You might be on the front cover of Enemy, but remember, you're still Daniel Stevens and I'm still Roy Tarmac. Because your rap name was Roy Tarmac. Just keep him in line.
Is there any recording of the Serious Program?
Yeah, is there anything online or anything?
Yeah. There is, yeah.
There's stuff about?
Floating about.
You did a reunion gig a little while back.
Yeah, a few years ago, yeah.
Didn't you? It was good fun. It was a good laugh. Yeah.
Well, our resident DJ was the Scratch DJ, wasn't it?
So our DJ at the club night, it was like a DMC champion and all that.
Wrote a few records, didn't he? He did one with Adam F.
He worked on the big Chaos. Adam F. On Chaos.
And
yeah.
So it worked with Mitch, remember that? He was my oldest pal, really, from school and stuff. And he come round and he went... Because he went to New York for about a year with Adam.
Yeah.
And he got the gig, I think, if I'm... I hope I get this right, but they needed a Scratch DJ at a tour because it was going to be a touring show. So he got the gig, and then basically they found out that he could make beats and he was really good at production and stuff. And because I think Adam started off doing drum and bass, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm going to make a hip-hop album. And he said to...
Fucking what an album, by the way.
Yeah. And he said to Ross, who's our friend, would you be interested in sort of co-producing it? And he was like, fucking definitely.
Yeah.
And we didn't see him for about a year, and he come back from the States and he come around mine and he was like, just to let you know, here's the album and I've given you a little shout out in it. And I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. And so as I'm looking through it, there's I'm just thinking, this is my mate, this skinny little white kid from Grays, and he's in this vocal booth with there's pictures of him in the vocal booth with Busta Rhymes and LL Cool J, Guru was on the album, and like everyone was on the album, and like, and
it's just insane.
And he's just so he's a dude, isn't he?
Like, genuinely, this year, the couple of times that Ross hasn't been able to make it to the club night, the only positive part has been I get to play Smash Something, which is one of my favourite.
I wanted to ask you about this. So
it's one of my favourite tracks to play, but mate, it's like, but you produced that, right, so I can't play that. If you're here, you've got the right
I'll
to play
I'll tell you
about
that. The orchestration on that, right?
Because that tune is fucking... I mean, I don't need to tell anyone.
Yeah.
What a tune, man.
It's like, massive.
That album got delayed and delayed and delayed. Cause at the time, I was getting my promos from, I think they were signed EMI or something like that, and the rep used to come in and give me promos and stuff. And I was saying, like, what's happening with the Adam F album? And he went, mate, it just keeps overrunning and overrunning. It's not finished. And apparently it's one of the most expensive albums, like, the label had ever done, because all the orchestration on that is the orchestra that done the Star Wars orchestration. And so Ross said, like, I'm in a studio with, like, the people that fucking done the score are, like, Star Wars, watching this fucking orchestration happening, thinking it's on one of my tunes. And, it was pretty... fucking spectacular what he done.
That's mental.
That's amazing, man. They didn't save any money.
And the thing was as well, because it was a, what also was a massive fucking issue with the album was, before it come out, if you look at the cover, it's planes flying around the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And it was around that time. I think literally they had there was all sorts of issues. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm on the money with this, that there was, that the release date got moved and there was all sorts of issues with the artwork because of what happened.
The Coop had the same problem, right? The rap group that they did I can't remember what it's called, but it's literally a picture of the Twin Towers and him with a fucking plunger detonator.
Shit,
like, insane. If you've got some racist kind of like tendencies, you're going to think, well, I mean, come on, mate.
Yeah,
he did it. Yeah. It's blatant.
Prodigy changed one of their covers, actually, didn't they, for Smack My Bitch Up. It was supposed to be a wrecked, written-off car. But Lady Di just had a little bit of a mishap. So they had to change it.
She lived up to her name.
Wow. It's too soon for those kind of things.
Still raw.
But that record as well, the vinyl, that was all, like, the vinyl was, that album cover's printed on the vinyl. The vinyl was, nice. Very nice.
So is a serious problem... done. Properly done.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm 43.
Come on, Brett. Like, Brett wants to rev this bad boy back up. Come on. I want
to
see it.
But you know what? In fairness to... Jen, keep elbowing you, Pip. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Yeah. It's my fault.
I ended up doing another band, like a serious band, and he hit me up and he said, like, come down. He just started at X, XFM at the time. And he was like, bring your demos in. And he played me on the radio and stuff. So he's, just really... top fella. I can't say enough nice stuff about him.
That's good.
When I supported him in Bristol, he was doing Foregone Conclusion, and he said to me, I was just so fucking excited to be like in a room with him, right? And then he said to me, oh, honestly, it's going to be great. They're so my fans are so lovely. And I went out and I said, hello, I'm Ramesh Ranganathan. And somebody went, where's Brent, you fucking wanker?
Good point, well made.
Amazing. Oh, I won't lie, in the Work in Progress gigs I've done with him, I died every single time. I mean, one of them I sort of hung on by my fingertips. But basically, he'd do a bit, and then Brian would go, and then he'd do a bit, and then he'd bring me on. And they'd go, oh, it's time for a break, is it? But then, like, people would get up, go to the bar, or just stare at me with the face that said, where's Ricky gone? How long are you going to be here?
It's tough with someone that big off the telly, isn't it? Because it's not comedy fans as such. It's got into that world where it's just people, which sounds like a really weird thing. But as a comedian, you want to play to comedy fans, not just to people.
Well,
does that make sense?
The thing is that once you get so big... you get to a point where...
What did you say back to the guy? What did you say to the guy?
I said, it'll be on in a bit, you cunt. That is certainly what I said. But you're right. You hit the nail on the head. Is that you get to a point where people just want to be in a room with someone.
Yeah.
And I had that, bizarrely. He's not somebody that's done, like, sitcoms or anything like that, but I supported Kevin Bridges on his latest tour, right?
Yeah.
And he had the same thing, man. Like, you know, like, Kevin Bridges, one of the best, like, in terms of pure stand-up, I think he's fucking incredible.
Yeah, amazing.
But regardless of that, because he's got so big, there's people that aren't stand-up fans that are, like, going to watch him. Yeah. And then, like, they just want to be there with him. And they're shouting. And, like, you know, he'd be doing a new bit. And they'd shout, do the bus stop routine. Like, one of his first routines on Live at the Apollo. And they're just because they want to fucking...
It's horrible.
Like, be there. Do you know what I mean? And, like...
It's fucking horrible, isn't it? Yeah. It's such a weird thing. Because it is that weird medium. You're striving for success. But then... That can be the worst
saturation.
Thing you can have.
It happens with music as well.
And, always but, love, and we mentioned Gittins many a time, but I love, he's one of my favourite acts ever, but I love how tortured he is as a human.
As
basically,
a man,
he's created a character that, if he nails it, there's genuine confusion and indifference in the crowd. That's the point of the character. Yeah, and I had him support me on it was a spoken word tour I did, and... most nights he did it was me, him and Kate Tempest, and Kate Tempest has gone on huge as well, but she's very good. Brian's very different from the three, but it's perfect. But he nailed every night. Yet every night the first thing he did when coming off stage was apologize to me, was find me and apologize for what had just happened. But again, it's because he's created this character who, it's meant to be a bit, is his dick hanging out? It's meant to be so weird and stupid and
I came to watch you for that, and him look before you just absolutely killed me. And he basically...
Well, we were in tears. We were at the end, when he was getting his... when he's got people up on stage and they're all meant to... He puts masks on and they're all meant to dance. And they weren't. And they weren't engaging. And it was just hilarious because him just going in character, but also knowing a little bit was genuinely David, just going... Just do something. Play anything. Do something. As the whole room's just staring at five people on stage in masks while the Okie Kokie plays and they don't react in any way. And he's going, anything. Anything you do will be good.
It's just incredible.
Fucking
man.
Brilliant.
I remember doing a gig. I can't remember where it was, but I was doing a gig with him and I was watching his set and I was due to go on straight after him and I was thinking... You're fucking me. Like, there's
no
way I
can follow that.
Follow you.
No.
Man. Like, this is insane. So good. And also, have you watched Cumbo? Like, Steve?
Yeah.
That character.
It's fucking brilliant.
Mate, one of the, like, seriously, dude, one of the best things I've seen in fucking years, mate.
It's masterful. So I recommend people look him up on Facebook. And I mean, I've watched everything he's done, but he posted today, because he always does, like, a Christmas message.
Yeah.
And he's posted today. Do you want a Christmas message this year, or would you like a Facebook Live? And the idea of Cumbo on a Facebook Live is amazing. And he says, I just want to make you guys happy. I'm nothing without you, and vice versa.
Did you guys see that song he did? I don't know if that was Facebook
He does a lot of songs. He does a lot of songs where he just improvises.
But the thing is, he's so humble, almost to a fault, right? Because when I first saw Cumbo, I texted him and I said, mate, this is like one of the funniest things I've seen in such a long time. And the way he replied was almost like he thought I was taking the piss. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was like he couldn't accept that.
Or Gittins
is
one.
Brilliant. Do you know what I mean?
Genuinely for me, Gittins as a character is up there with Partridge and Numa Summers. And the time I realised that was the YouTube video where it's just him going through the keys on his keyboard.
That's my favourite, the keys.
And I was just like, I can watch this character do anything. And he's just going through keys going... I'm not sure what that one's for. just going on, and it's just hilarious. Yeah. It's like, you know, and Partridge is like that. I can watch Partridge do absolutely anything, and it'll slay me. It's just, he's nailed that character that's hilarious, and he's perfect for that. Anyway, before we get onto the year roundup, I want to tell a little story about the Taboo premiere. Taboo's the new series on BBC. Starts January 7th, starring Tom Hardy
and
Stephen
myself.
Graham. It's made by Ridley Scott. It's written by Stephen Knight and starring a little Scroobius Pip. And I went to the premiere, and this story is mainly because I've not told Chris this, and he'll enjoy this, having known me at college.
Where was the premiere?
The premiere was at a picture house in
Lovely.
Picture House Central, so it was lovely. I'd done another podcast in the day, so I was suited and booted, and I decided I'm about 45 minutes away. I'm going to walk there. So I walked from Old Street to the Picture House, which is up the road from here in Piccadilly. I had my suit on, a nice suit. I had these beautiful cufflinks that are like these gold, like bird skulls that look really cool.
It's a very humble story, this.
You'll get there. Honestly. I had these beautiful Oliver Sweeney shoes on. They're tattooed.
Diamonds.
Personalized.
Yeah. My dick
shoes,
was huge.
The shoes...
I tucked it in my sock.
The shoes were tattooed So they've been tattooed personalised for me with a little skull and with a "You Will See Me" and they're beautiful. And I was walking there.
Can I and tattooed a shoe?
Yeah,
this is a bit like that, that spoken because word guy you were describing.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm walking there and I walk past a window and as you can see, my hair's a bit longer at the moment. I've got my long hair right now. And I thought, oh, my hair looks a bit scruffy and messy. So I popped into Superdrug, just undid some gel.
What a fucking
show. Just took... Just
not even burnt.
This story took a sexy turn.
You can't just walk into Superdrug.
Just walked into Superdrug, opened up, just... took a finger full of gel, I re-screwed it and walked out and did my hair. It wasn't enough, so I stopped at 5 different Superdrugs between Old Street and Leicester Square.
That's really good.
And used the same gel in each one, just a finger's worth.
That's impressive.
Just a finger's worth, and just styled my hair on stolen gel from Superdrugs. And I was very pleased that, you know, I'm going to a fancy thing, I'm suited and booted, but I'm still
a 3 fingers worth in the second one?
Huh? Yeah.
Why didn't you do that in the first place?
Yeah.
Well, I just kept... I don't know.
Why are you slowly trying to take down Superdrug?
I didn't want to overdo it. I did like the idea...
He wants to make an attack on Superdrug, but it was to spread it around.
I like the idea that 5 different Superdrugs would have the same amount out of each one. Mm. And it'd be like, what's happening? This is a mystery. I didn't want to overdo it. I don't want to
flick back hair. Are these testers, or are you doing this in
No, I'm just stealing.
Okay, fine.
These aren't testers, but I used to do it... when me and Chris were at college, every morning, I'd get up... I'd walk in boots. It was boots then, so it was fancy. I'd walk in boots. I'd get some gel, do my hair, spray some aftershave on to college. I didn't own any gel or aftershave. Often I'd use.
Do you know this is a story? You're trying to make out like this is like a working class struggle, but nobody needs gel. Do you understand? If you're telling a story about taking bread or something, I get it. Plus, like you're nicking gel, dude.
And aftershave.
And no one uses gel anymore. Absolutely no one uses gel.
You don't, mate. Oh! But yeah, it was. I was very proud of the.
So you took down 5 Superdrugs.
So I took down 5 Superdrugs. Then went. It was a beautiful premiere. I'm not even in the first episode, so it's kind of pointless, but it was nice and exciting to be
there. What were you using the gel to do? Just slick it back?
Just tidy it up a bit. It was a bit. I didn't have it tied up, you see. So I tied my hair down. I thought I'm going to be a bit wild, but the day was windy and I'd got a bit too wild. I'm not sure if it was specifically a gel. It was some kind of putty.
You always do look immaculate.
I do my best.
It surprises me that you would have left it to fortune like that.
Well, it's because largely on the Drunk Cast, I've got mocked so much for my ponytail that at this event, I was like, I'm just going to have my hair down. And just be wild.
That was a mistake.
And I'm not used to it. And I was very self-conscious and nervous. So I stole loads of gel. And
how was Taboo?
It was amazing. Yeah. It's going to be so good. It was crazy to be because obviously being part of it, it's exciting. And I've worked quite close with Hardy post and looking at a lot of the cuts and being there for kind of a lot of this stuff that I shouldn't get to see. But it's amazing to be involved. And it kind of made me forget that it's a massive deal, if that makes sense. So being there and having the head of BBC, but then the head of FX come out. And that was the bit that I hadn't really thought about. I knew it was a big thing for BBC. I forgot it's a big thing for an American channel, which means if it's big, it's fucking big. Yeah. it's really big. And on Friday, I'm shooting a spoken word piece about Taboo to be used as part of the marketing to go into it. So again, it's like this involvement. It's like I'm getting to do stuff that I shouldn't get to do by any rights. But
I auditioned for The Martian, right?
So, you know, did you?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was due to play... Nick Mohammed got the part.
Right.
You know, the guy on the screen, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to give you an idea of how it went, my agent Flo phoned me up. She said, really exciting. You got an audition for The Martian.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott film. I said, wicked. Why are you fucking laughing? I haven't started the story yet, bro. Right, so...
Wait, I know you're not in it. So I've got a vague idea of where we're at.
I've seen it.
I'm sort of excited.
So I went to do the audition, and you've got to do an American accent for it, right? Now, I'm not an actor.
You're also not an American, correct?
No, not an American, correct. And I said, is there any way I could play it British, right? The casting director said, no. Just do the audition American. Halfway through me reading the piece, she cracked up laughing. Like, she couldn't control herself.
No. Oh, wow.
Right? And then she says... Then she said, give it another go. Sorry, I interrupted you because I was laughing.
You sure did.
So
So literally, I'm reading the bit, dude, I have to stop. Not because of my, not because I've stumbled. Yeah. She's thinks it's so dog shit that she started laughing.
She's laughing out loud.
Yes, yeah. Right.
As if she's listening to herself on a podcast.
Yeah. Mm. So I redid it, and then she said, "Yeah, well, we'll see what Ridley thinks of that." So I left, and crushed. I phoned my agent, and I said, "Not only have I not got this part, but if you ever hear of Ridley Scott auditioning for anything ever again, I suggest you keep me well away from it."
Not only am I not in this, but I'm definitely not in Blade Runner. No.
even if they make it an all Sri Lankan production, I still don't think you should put me up for it.
I was saying earlier to these guys, I had an audition today, and I'm new to all this, so it's for me, I'm just excited to be at auditions. I don't really care if I get it. It's good practice. I love it. A lot of people have advised that it's all about being relaxed and confident and comfortable and being like, you know, I'm going in. It doesn't matter. I'm here to be me and so on and so forth. And at this one, I got there and there were two kids in there waiting to audition for other things. By pure chance, both of them were Scroobius Pip fans. And they spent the 15 minutes beforehand basically telling me how fucking awesome I am. So I then, the casting director had to come out and interrupt these two lads telling me how great I am. I'm sorry, lads, I've got a head in here, but good luck with everything. Nice to meet you. Shake hands. I want that before every audition I ever do.
Two
hype men to just go, you know what, mate, you're fucking great. You're a really good lad. You're all right.
Ridley Scott would love you.
Ridley Scott would be...
Why have you got to do a little callback to Dig at Me?
I'm really sad that you're not in the Martian.
I'll take the callback.
I think you'd have made
it
better.
I'll take the callback, but I want to go back to you and the hair gel, right?
Yeah, go on.
So,
thank you, finally.
Right?
Let's acknowledge the elephant in the room here. Right. Fine, thank you.
So, you've got your hair down.
Yeah.
Are you gelling the back or just the top? And is the back, because it's quite a bit curly, isn't it?
See, that was the problem. I had initially just done the top. The back needed some work.
So shit.
Yeah, the top was kind of slick, and then the back was a bit of a.
With his hair down with a ponytail in, but it was just too funny. Without a ponytail.
All right.
Did
you stop at 5 super drugs because you were finally happy with your hair, or you ran out of super drugs?
I ran out of super drugs. To be honest, I was happy at 4. But I just fancied it.
Oh, right. I saw another one.
I was like, fuck it. I'm fucking with them. I had to just keep going. I was addicted at that point. That's the super drugs. Shall we go on to breaking down the year?
Before we do, go on. Yeah. Let's ask, what are these doing here?
I picked them up.
Yeah, but
I don't even know.
Are we allowed to eat them?
Yeah,
but they're quite a noisy.
Eat them. Go in.
These pom sticks.
People hate it. It'll be hilarious.
Pardon? Podcast.
People will hate it. It'll be hilarious. Just eat. Just.
Can I just say something? I had Catherine Ryan on my podcast, somebody reviewed it on iTunes and took a star off because they could hear her chewing.
Oh.
It's fucking. Do you encourage people to review your podcast?
Not particularly. I should do. It's a weird one.
I don't think you should, man. Like
you get in a habit of saying things that other podcasters say. So rate and review and blah blah blah. It really helps. I don't know if it helps that much, does it? I don't know.
About algorithms or some shit?
I think there is. It pushes you up somewhere. I always make up stuff. I say it's really good. It's good for the advertisers to see this and that and that. I don't know. Right. I don't care. I mean, I don't push it as much now because we just broke, 8 million downloads. So we're fucking... kind of a big deal, so I don't really need to push that
shit
out.
Man, because your dick's hanging out.
Has anyone got any gel?
Massive dick.
It is a good podcast. As I said to you before we started.
But yours is one of the awards, is one of iTunes' favourites
of the year. I think that's because they've got to include a certain number of minorities. But in all seriousness, like I said to you before we started, when I was a teacher, since I left and got into comedy, loads of people have got in touch with me after I did distraction pieces and said, I've never really given a shit about anything you've done since you left teaching. But the fact that, Scroobius Pip actually has got me buzzing. Somebody messaged me to say, I couldn't have given a fuck about anything you've done until I found out that you need, it's upsetting.
I love it. I'm more than fine with it. Can I reveal a little back and forth conversation when I lost my Twitter? Because my Twitter got hacked.
Yeah, and, I saw that.
Again, it was annoying. It was a weird one because when I lost it, and again, it sounds stupid, but I've spent years building that up. It's kind of a key part in the market. But when I lost it, I sat in bed eating pizza and watching wrestling.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked and went, ah, fuck it. Kind of, it's like, life's all right. It's social media. It's not a big deal. And Ramesh was one of the people who messaged me going, like, what's going on? I said, oh, it's been hacked. It might help if you message or if you tweet the customer care or whatever, because you're verified. And also the race thing was my reasons that
blue
they might pay attention
minority,
to.
Yeah. That's route
that's
one.
That's a double whammy.
He ain't fucking getting ignored.
And what was your response? Do you remember your response?
No, I don't actually. What did I say?
You responded to me saying, I've messaged them. You know, it might not help though that they messaged back just calling me a packy. which...
Yeah, but hold on a minute. A blue tick packy. So let's not fucking undermine what I've achieved.
It slayed me. But yeah, it was weird. I got it back in the end. They hadn't done anything. They'd taken away my photo and profile, like whatever it said, and they'd followed one person.
Who?
Can't remember. It was like a random, another egg, like some random
an
thing.
Egg.
It's weird. I got it back.
Have you kept that egg?
No, I unfollowed him. I was like, it feels like something.
But that stung.
Yeah.
Just that fucking unfollow.
Have that. You went to all that trouble. Wasted. Waste of your weekends. Unlucky prick.
I can't believe you were so zen about it, because it would have really pissed me off.
I was really weirdly zen. Oh, we'd been to Comic-Con that day. So we'd been to Comic-Con. Mm. I'd interviewed Michael Venom Page, who's one of my favourite MMA fighters. Then we'd gone to watch wrestling. And then I had to watch some more wrestling for a podcast that me and Jim Smallman do. So I sat in bed, eating pizza, watching wrestling. No, I masturbate.
Just wanking about your own life.
No, that's it. I masturbate to people I've met on Twitter. So I couldn't access all the info.
You was really chilled out about that. Seeing as like how hard you've worked, we've sort of like...
Because,
I really have love-hate with social media, though.
I expected to text you, and then you reply just with a fucking like volley of abuse about how you've been disrespecting that. And you were just like, I'm sitting in bed, I'm eating pizza and watching wrestling.
Fancy coming over.
You couldn't get much better from it.
You up. No, it's a weird one because I do have love-hate with social media. It's been the bane of my existence in recent years, and it's been an absolute, like, I wouldn't have a career without it. So it was a weird one. I think at that point, I'd had a few weeks where a few things on social media had fucked with my head a bit. I suffer from insomnia a lot, and social media is a nightmare if you're an insomniac, because you could just go down wormholes and find things you don't want to find, just all sorts of shit like that. So it was one of them where it was like... I mean, at least I'll get a good night's sleep.
I swear, I look for punishment, man. I've actually searched Ramesh shit. I don't understand.
Mate, good. 97,000 hits. I've searched it. We've all searched it.
It's mad.
You didn't do it on the train and laugh at yourself.
Yes.
No, it's weird, isn't it? It's
self-hate, though, isn't it? It's like self-harm.
It's like that.
Don't you just look and look and look until you find the horrible one? Then you go,
it's
okay.
I think I'm craving finding someone like really hating me. It's like weird.
Have you ever found anyone hating you?
Mate, still looking. So many, man. Every time a bit of DVD promo comes out, I get a tweet going, you're genuinely the shittest person I've ever seen in my life. I hope you die soon.
Have you had shit in the street? Like people coming up and giving you egg?
The only time I had it actually was when I did... I'd just been confirmed to do Kev Bridges support. And I was doing... And they asked me to do a warm-up one with him because he wanted to just watch my set and make sure there wasn't too much overlap or whatever. So it was in, I can't remember, Chipping Norton? Somewhere like that, right? It's a smallish theatre. And I was just walking to the gig... a little bit nervous because I'm thinking, like, you know, I hope that I'm not shit and then this goes like tits up or whatever. And there's a group of lads sitting outside a pub, and this guy goes to me, shit, Ramesh Ranganathan. I went, yeah, sort of got a semi, I'll be honest with you. And he goes to me, Drunk History, man. I said, yeah. And he goes, I've got to tell you. I'm sorry, but I've got to tell you. And I thought, okay. And he goes, you ruined it. He goes, you absolutely ruined it. He goes, you're so aggressive. He goes, I'm so sorry. I just had to tell you.
And I so you went, didn't?
And I just went, mate, I'm going to be honest with you. I would strongly argue that you didn't have to tell me. But thank you for telling me. That I mean, as I walked away, to be fair to him, one of his mates goes, what the fuck you do that for, you prick? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So his mates didn't agree. But it's weird, isn't it? Where people feel like they have to tell you what their opinion is of you. And like the thing is...
It's a thing of our society. And I genuinely think it's down to social media. I've kind of half ranted about this before, but TED Talks, I think, are a major problem in this. And I think when TED Talks started, it was great. I've turned down TED Talks three times now because I've not got anything to fucking say for an hour on stage. Do you know what I mean? Outside of what I make and things like that. And I think there's now so many TED Talks with people who just feel, oh, I need to have my opinion heard. I've got something really important. And I think that's a thing from social media, from Facebook updates, from everything else. We've now put such worth on our own opinions.
Have been out there before that. Do you know what I mean? Again, before social media.
Yeah, but the thing is, put extra worth on our opinion being valid and needing to be shared. Whereas previously we might keep it to ourselves, is now everything you say is important because it gets a like or gets a certain amount of
likes. But the thing is that if somebody thinks that I'm shit at comedy, that is fine. Obviously, I don't like that, but that's fine. I'm not going to be great for everyone. But why at me? Like, why tell me? Yeah. Why? What is the need to tell me? If you want to say Ramesh Ranganathan's shit, I hate his latest show, that's fine. You say that. You can tweet it if you want. Do you know what I mean? And listen, I appreciate you not at me. But, like when people feel like they've got a fucking... like. So the other day, right? The other day, like, my show's on Sky Store, right?
Yeah.
So Sky Store tweeted... why go out when you can see, like, it's like a typical advert thing. Yeah. Why go out when you can see Ramesh Ranganathan's Irrational Blower?
And then you can rent it or buy it to keep.
Yeah. And then somebody replied, just keep it advertising. Because he's fucking shit. Do you know what I mean? And like, that's fine. That's fine. If you think I'm shit, that's fine. But why have I got to know about it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand.
The age of people doing this, because like you don't have to be a certain age to have a Twitter profile or have a social presence, and like you don't know who's doing that. But young kids, I mean, I've said all awful things to people. Yeah. Like, as young kids who are on Twitter, probably they're not thinking about that. They're not thinking about how that affects you. They're just like,
honestly, not
that's
even
a
that,
funny
though.
Thing
I
to say.
I think it's people in general. It's the openness. As Brett knows, I'm a sociopath,
and I
went in on someone on Twitter this one time, and I do want to get to a tiny bit of MMA talk, but I was a regular on this mixed martial arts show on BT Sports, when someone tweeted saying,
someone brought a baby.
Did anyone else just hear a baby scream?
Yeah.
I didn't hear a baby scream.
All right, I did. That just must be love that he went, as everyone knows, I'm a sociopath, and then we hear a baby scream. Where the fuck have you been hiding that baby?
Look, it's safe.
This is why I couldn't wrap your present.
There was a tweet, and someone tweeted saying, I think Scroobius Pip's great, I think Dan Hardy's great, but that OJ Borge is shit. Mm. Or I can't stand him, or he's insufferable or something. And again, the fact is, number one, I can't... I've done TV hosting.
Yeah.
And it's fucking so hard. Like, when you've got an earpiece in, and you're having to control people, and someone's chatting in your ear, it's horrible. And that's the job OJ had. What me and Dan Hardy had was talk about MMA, and anyone who's listened to the Drunk Cast will know that we enjoy doing that. It's fine. And I replied to this guy and said, you're a dick, man, kind of thing. And just said, like, don't be rude. And again, he did the typical, it's my opinion, mate. I'm entitled to my opinion. And again, I can't leave it at that. So I went on his profile and I saw pictures of him with his kids. And I've kidnapped his baby.
Mate. So now you've got the kids. Now you've got the kids.
Well, that was one of them out the back.
Yeah, that's it. No, so I've looked at, he's got pictures of young kids, and he's like, oh, I love my kids. I'm a proud dad or whatever. And I tweeted him saying, look, do you bring your kids up that if they're at school and there's someone, if they come home from school and say, I don't like Sarah, do you sit them down and say, that's fine, but what you've got to do is just make sure she knows you don't like her? Is that how you bring your kids up? Because if it isn't, then what the fuck are you doing? Why are you making sure this person knows by tagging them? And it was this long, obviously tweets are only 100, so it's like about five tweets just going in. And he ended up apologising to OJ and saying, no, you're right. That's not how I raise my kids. That's not how I should act as a human. You've made a point here, and kind of, yeah. I had that moment of pride and achievement.
Well, it's weird, right? Because I'd read, this is really wanky what I'm about to say, but fuck it. So, James Corden, I read an interview with James Corden, and he said somebody had called him a fat cunt on Twitter or something, right? Mm. And he'd replied saying, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. And he'd noticed that they were vegan on their profile and said, this is a really great restaurant near you, right? And they'd gone, point made, I don't actually know you. I shouldn't have said that, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm going to do a similar kind of thing, right? So some guy said, Asian provocateur is like the worst fucking thing I've ever seen. You like a shit Carl Pilkington, right? So I just replied going, I'm really sorry you feel that way. We thought it was an original show. But I respect your opinion and thanks for letting me know. Thanks for the feedback, right? And then he replied, dude, he apologised. Like, he replied to me going... Yeah. Look, man, I'm sorry. That was just my opinion. And actually, I've watched a bit more of it and I think it was all right.
That's transactional analysis, though. In when you study those different things, you have adult, parent, and child conversations. And if you go from, if you behave like a child, yeah. You often get another person react to you and they'll talk down to you or try and tell you off. Vice versa. But if you act like an adult and just sort of like talk in a sort of non emotive way, like you did there.
Yeah.
You force them to raise their game and their behaviour around them. So that's what it does.
It's Sam Marshall, he's been on the podcast before. Yeah.
Surprised that wasn't you as deep as you did.
The shock on everyone's face.
I know.
The shock on everyone's face.
I'll say a dick joke in a minute.
Yeah, at this point, everyone looks down. Like, oh, his penis is out. It's fine. Oh, it's fine.
I thought someone get the exorcist. He's that was incredible.
But no, as Sam has pointed out before, that whenever anyone digs me out on my Facebook page, they'll attack me. If I acknowledge it, they'll then go, oh, I'm a massive fan, mate. You just called me a cunt.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a massive... But because again, it's seeking a response. It's fucking weird. As social media is an odd place. Shall we get on to breaking down the year?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Chris, have you got your notes? Right.
Yeah, I've looked at January. I know what I'm going to do for January.
So what are we going to discuss in January? You go and kick things off.
Well, people what died?
Yeah,
people what died.
There was a big one, wasn't there, in January?
Thank you.
Who was in January?
Thank you for balancing out what you said.
No problem.
Who died in January?
It's hard work making you look that smart.
let's go in with the whole question of over the whole year of people who died. So
is January going to bring on the game?
What?
Of one has to go if we're going to bring one back.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. We'll do this now. So,
and the rule is someone we quite like, not someone we love.
It can't be someone you hate. It can be someone. It's got to be someone you care about. It can't just be a
family member.
It could be a family. If you've got someone who's a bit old,
okay.
They've had their time. I'll start things off.
Okay.
I'd bring back Prince. Yeah. I fucking love Prince.
Mm-hmm.
His album from 2014, Artificial, is one of my favourite Prince albums, so it doesn't feel like he's seen his time and so on and so forth.
You're the only person that's ever said that in the history of the world, by the way.
Well...
That his album in 2014 is one of your favourite albums.
It's in my top five Prince albums. Okay, it's a fantastic album, honestly. And you'd like it. I generally think there's tracks on
there.
It's very
bossy.
If Frank Ocean had released it, people would have gone nuts.
Can I just say something? By the way, mentioning Frank Ocean... He's overrated, right?
I think so.
I think he's got some great songs.
Yeah, he has. But he's overrated.
To start with, I liked some of his releasing stuff, but I've lost the thread.
Dude, come on.
Yeah.
Like, he's good, yeah, but I'd agree. He's not. Anyway, okay, fine.
People get crazy excited. I would, and this is going to annoy a lot of people, but I would bring back Prince and I'd let Attenborough go.
Wow.
I think,
dude, who's going to talk about the fucking racer snakes, bro?
Oh, someone's got to. I think he's just smashed it. The Planet Earth 2 thing has been one of the best
things. You don't want a Planet Earth 3? You don't want it?
I'm good, mate. We've done two.
You've seen enough.
I think he's had an amazing career. I think he's wonderful, but he's very old. He's not gone to any level of pain or misery yet, which is inevitable often when you get older. So, yeah, I'd bring back Prince.
You've been very kind to Attenborough. I'd let Attenborough go.
And again, going out on a high as well.
He's had a good high.
Taking him to Switzerland.
And it is time for someone else to go. Right, I'll step in there and be the animal person. I'll be the animal guy.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Who's the lad? Chris, what was his name? He can step up now. Chris
in the
Peckham.
Wild.
Chris Peckham.
He's done his time
Nutkins
now.
Nutkins has gone, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I'm not bringing him back.
He can stay gone. It's horrible. So, who wants to go next on choosing someone they'd bring back?
Has it got to die this year?
Yeah.
Can I have the list? I've forgotten the list.
So let's give a few that have died this year. So we've got Prince, we've got Bowie.
Ali.
Yeah, Ali. But he, I mean...
Can I have Alan Rickman? Was that this year?
Yeah, Rickman was this year.
Five Dog.
Five Dog.
Yeah, I'd probably bring him back.
Tribal Quest, but
you can't. I'm gonna bring him back.
Tribe, not Della. Jesus, this guy. There's been more, isn't there?
It's been
Bowie. Victoria Wood.
Have we said Bowie?
I heard the comedian
Caroline Ahern.
Victoria Wood. Yeah. So who's next?
Chris,
you're gonna have a little look at who's died this year.
Do you know what I'm gonna? Ollie's the greatest, you know what I mean? But I'm gonna go Caroline Ahern.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I think she's
lovely choice.
Yeah. When I had Jeff Lloyd on, he told some amazing stories.
Can I ask a question? When we're bringing these people back, are they cured? Or are they gone back to excruciating pain?
No, they've just got another two weeks. in complete fucking agony. Yeah.
Sacrifice someone's life for 2 weeks.
If anything, you're lengthening their suffering. It's almost like a punishment for them.
Could be 10 more years, could be one more day.
Okay, but they're sort of as they were just before they died.
Roll the dice, mate.
Okay.
They might get over it.
Oh, God.
One more day. And who would you let go? You bring him back,
the geezer from Mexico that you saved.
No. Fuck that guy.
Ungrateful.
He didn't buy a drink, did he?
He didn't really earn his life back.
No,
did he?
He didn't.
Andy Peters.
Andy Peters.
Whoa, fucking hell, dude!
It was close. It was nearly Lulu, but I'm going to go Andy Peters.
Wow. Mm. And why Andy Peters?
Andy Peters? You've got a chance to win a brand new Audi Q7.
To be honest,
if you just phone up and answer,
I'm going to put my hand up and say that my shock was at the fact you quite like Andy Peters.
Well, that's stronger connections.
Sorry, hold on a minute. Not wanting him to die doesn't mean that I like him.
No, but it's got to be someone you quite like. It can't be.
Oh, so he quite likes him.
Do you quite like Andy Peters? No.
I quite liked him.
Liked.
When
I was a kid, was like, I thought he was quite good.
That's bullshit. You weren't a kid when he was doing it.
Who did he have? Ed the Duck?
There's no way.
No, that was Andy Crane.
So who had Gordon the Goat? Did he have Gordon the Goat?
No, that was Pip Schofield.
So what puppet was with Andy Peters?
He didn't have a puppet.
Fuck me. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
They believed in him so much, they didn't even give him a puppet.
They believed in him so much.
Or they're trying to undermine the black man so much that like he wasn't worthy of a puppet.
Yeah.
Because the puppet
is automatically below you. Yeah, and they're kind of saying there's no one below you.
Yeah. He's like pulling the strings.
That's not realistic. That's outrageous.
Something subservient to Andy Peters.
Too unrealistic, mate.
No one's going to buy into that. Even innocent
even kids
aren't
going to
buy
into that. Kids will be, what's this shit? What's that rag on his hand?
If anything, there should be a puppet just ordering him about.
Yeah, a massive puppet behind him. Him sitting on the knee of Bungle. Andy Peters on Bungle's knee in a laundry cabinet.
I agree with that. Wholeheartedly.
Chris, have you got your list?
Got me is list.
This, so who died?
Are you writers in, Chris? What's going on?
Looking at
Wikipedia.
So who went this year?
Do you want me to read them all out?
Yeah,
I'm not reading them all out. Right, so you've had Bowie, Rickman, Glenn Frey from Eagles died. Terry Wogan.
Wogan.
Oh. Yeah. Tezza. Frank Kelly, who's played Father Jack. Coronation Street. Tony Warren. Don't know. Nancy Reagan. Beatles producer Sir George Martin. You had Paul Daniels. Say yes, Paul.
Oh, mate, look, I've got mine.
All okay.
Right. Yeah. Go on then. Fire away.
Paul Daniels back. Kill David Blaine.
Nice.
Is that to give Paul Daniels his slot, his role?
Somebody told me that Paul Daniels thinks he invented rap music. Do you know this? Have you heard this story?
No.
Do you know what was that children's show he did? Whizbit.
Ha ha this way, Mario.
Yeah.
Crazy bastard.
Somebody told me that they were.
He thinks that was the
The origins of rap music. Yeah, so he...
Wow.
So somebody told me...
I mean, I can hear the arguments for Gil Scott-Heron or...
Yeah, yeah. Paul numbers, Daniels, he did...
Cool Herc was watching Wisby.
He did Edinburgh recently. What was it? Like, just before he died, right? What year was it?
Made 2 years ago.
Yeah, so he did Edinburgh 2 years ago, and somebody told me, I can't remember the name, but they said they were doing a show, and Paul Daniels was on, and he said... Do you know that rap music? I started that.
You know the rappers.
I started that with Wisbit, so it wasn't the black people after all. That's apparently. Listen,
wow,
that is fourth hand. But that's
wow, hang on. So you're bringing him back to finally do his hip hop album?
Yeah,
fair enough, mate.
I just think get him collabing with Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah,
they still got it.
Right.
God, I've drunk too much, man. Okay. I'm talking so much. Shit.
Brett,
can I say something negative? And I don't like being negative, but. Go on. The Roots are my favourite, right? Absolutely love The Roots.
Yeah.
But the other day I saw David Blaine on Jimmy Fallon doing Tricks, and it made me question my love for The Roots.
Why?
Because they were... The way that Questlove was behaving around David Blaine was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Why? No, why? What was he doing?
He was just like...
Someone shat inside your soul.
It really upset me. I thought, for years I thought you were the coolest guy, and then I see you around David Blaine going, ooh! And sort of like going, oh, what's he doing? And it was so, they were so like pathetic, him and Jimmy Fallon and Questlove. And I was like, something inside of me is dying for this 10 minutes.
Well, it is weird that they've just become the house band there, and it's been weirdly credible.
Yeah, it was fine until that moment.
Dude, listen, The Roots, right?
Yeah,
they didn't sell that many records, respectively speaking.
Yeah.
So they were making most of their money from touring, right?
Yeah.
And every time they came to London, I would see them every fucking time they came, right?
Yeah.
And when I found out, I saw them
once, and on the way back, I saved a guy's life.
Yeah, there you go.
I genuinely did.
Hold
Brixton.
On. What are you talking about?
Go on.
Okay, you got.
It's a different story, but go on. Continue.
So when I found out they were Fallon's house band, I was devastated for myself personally.
Yeah.
Because
It
means they're not going to be over as much.
Yeah, exactly. But delighted. I thought it was amazing that Fallon, like on such a mainstream show, had picked up The Roots. But actually, it's sort of kind of upsetting. I saw like Black Thought did a Harry Potter freestyle.
Yeah, but
and I thought this is the beginning of the end, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, then they did, and then You Shoot Your Cousin, which is one of the best albums ever. Yeah. But then, so that was like, they're still doing.
I disagree. I don't think that's a great album.
I was like, oh, you're still doing art. You're brilliant. And then I saw him with David Blaine, and I was like, oh.
What did they do with David Blaine?
It's just they were like sort of pretending to be like, oh my God, what's he going to do? He's so freaked out. And I was like, come on, grow up, Questlove.
The same Questlove that had a drumming duet with Animal from the Muppets.
Well, I'm all right with that.
Right.
I'm pro Muppet. Anyway, all right. So look.
I need to watch that because
I
worship The Roots, and whenever I get to that level, I quite appreciate if somebody tells me, "Oh, there's something you can
watch them with
deflate that."
David Blaine, it's so depressing.
The same thing with Pip. Like, I'm so obsessed with him.
Yeah,
and then when somebody said, "Watch the sex tape," it just brought it all back down to earth.
Yeah,
in many ways, his sex tapes make him even better. He is quite the stunt.
In four ways. Come on, Brett.
I'm going to bring back Alan Rickman.
Yes, Alan Rickman.
Bring back Alan Rickman.
Time for Christmas.
And kill Questlove.
Going to kill Questlove.
Who I quite like, you know,
you
I love.
I like it. I like that. That's good, because again, it's something
I'm sort of saving
tough,
him from any more.
Are you Jimi Hendrix in him?
Rather than
letting him Clapton out.
I feel bad about it, but I've done it now.
No, one time.
Just down to you, Chris.
Oh. Out of these 100, I've copied and pasted.
I mean, don't read any more actors from Coronation
Street. By the way, just to let you know, you silently reading your laptop is podcast gold.
I'm a professional. Yeah. This is like the sixth time round. I kind of liked Anton Yelchin. He was the guy who was in Green Room, and he was in Star Trek. He's a really good young actor, and he kind of lucked out. And
had
a rough time, accidentally crashed.
He was fantastic in Green Room and in Star Trek. In Star Trek, he was the one that stood out the most in that first one for me.
Same here, yeah. So I'd swap him.
And he was very young, so that's a good swap.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, had his life ahead of him.
Yeah.
Who would I swap him for? Another actor. Actor.
Tom Hardy.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know who I'd swap him for acting wise. This is long as pain and painful too, isn't it?
Well, it's sort of become. Well,
you think about it.
Here's someone who I had in mind before I went with Attenborough. Bobby De Niro.
Good, cool.
I fucking love him, but.
He's had his time.
Seriously, I can't see him meet the PS5, man. Five.
No, I can't see him being someone's assistant or
grudge
whatever.
Match.
Yeah, grudge
that was,
match.
That was one of the worst. That was like, they didn't just shit on one legacy, yeah. They shit on two. Yeah. These fucking cunts.
Yeah.
Raging Bull and Rocky. You're going to shit on both of those?
Yeah.
You've got to fucking both go.
Yeah.
You know, he's done a film where he's a stand up coming out.
Yeah, I know. Fuck that film, man. De Niro, seriously.
I agree.
De Niro.
He's a good cool,
listen, I'm
going to
say
it
now. I've had a lot of rum, but fuck Robert De Niro. There you go. There you go. Fuck Robert De Niro, man. Seriously.
He spoke out about Trump, didn't he, before the vote?
Again.
Well.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy that.
Thank you.
I don't like Trump, but I didn't
enjoy
that.
You're the only person I that said that. Everyone else is like, fucking De Niro smashed it.
I didn't enjoy it. It was him going, he's a fucking fool. I'd punch him in his face. All right, Bobby. I didn't like it when Clint Eastwood spoke out for the right wing a few years back.
Oh, I loved it.
To his
mate,
chair.
Come on, you're telling
it.
Me. When he saw
I enjoyed it for
chair.
Comedy value. But I wasn't on board with it.
No.
And it's Barrett, the same.
You got it wrong, I think.
That was great when he talked to a chair.
I hate when people don't hold the same standards to their own views as they do to opposing views.
Yeah.
And everyone on the left wing saw that and was like, why are we listening to some washed up old actor? Blah, 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 blah. He's got no right to speak on politics, blah, blah. And then De Niro says he'd punch Trump, and they're all like, brilliant,
this is great.
It's like, no, yeah. I don't want it on either side. I have the same stringent rules against both. So, yeah.
Can I say, as a fan of the Drunk Cast, it is quite an honour to watch Stu eat crunchy food, because I know you talk about it, but now I've seen it. I mean, it's miraculous what you're doing.
He's eating it in silence.
Like, you can't hear it.
The beautiful part is that we've had one episode where Stu was eating a lot of crunchy food.
You can't hear it.
And we got five or six tweets going, tell Chris to stop eating crisps. The automatic assumption, no one accused me or Stu of eating crisps just because tell Chris to stop eating crisps.
But, but you're doing it silent.
That you didn't actually know that it weren't you.
When I was listening to it on the train, I texted Pip and went, oh, you've got to tell him to fucking stop chewing into the fucking microphone, the cunt.
And I literally, I was like, I've had five tweets from people saying to stop you doing
Can I also just say that Brett, I mean, was that new when you brought that?
No, it wasn't.
Here?
It wasn't. That wasn't full. It
there's
wasn't
a third
full.
Of a bottle of vodka in front of Brett now.
It wasn't full.
Brett, okay.
Brett asked me to not let him get too drunk because he has to be up at 5 a.m.
Okay.
So I didn't bring a full bottle of vodka for Brett.
I'm very respectful
of his needs. Yeah, I was going to say. Because that is fast work.
I mean, we've almost finished another episode and we're not started on January yet. So can we get a bit of news on January? You've got some news, Chris.
What happened in January?
What happened in January?
Leo DiCaprio. He won his Oscar. That's pretty much the only thing I've
won his Oscar.
Mm. Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
For a film?
Revenant.
A Revenant.
Mm.
I've not seen it. Have you seen it? Mm. Have you seen it?
Yeah,
he gets raped by a bear and then he goes and kills the bear.
Do you know what? The bear thing, right?
Pretty much. That's on the back of the DVD.
The actual scene where the bear fucks him up.
Mm.
It's horrific.
Yeah, it's pretty grim.
The noises and shit is really fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Right. Aside from that.
Do you know what, Stu?
Well, cheers, film 2016.
I would respect what you're saying more if you weren't wanking at the same time.
It's the noises that does it for me.
You really fucking fucked him up. Bear really fucks him, you know.
So that means it was the same time that it was the what was it? All the anger over the white Oscars.
But the thing is,
so
this is what I don't.
Oscars
like,
so
the
white.
The Leo DiCaprio thing. Like, you know, they're going about finally he's got an Oscar.
Mm.
Acting in Hollywood is the last fucking thing you deserve an award for. Like seriously. You know what your award is? Life. Your life, mate.
Yeah.
That is your fucking award.
Yeah.
Why do we. Anybody that thought it was an injustice that Leo DiCaprio didn't want a fucking Oscar is scum, mate.
Well, his
life DiCaprio's is so much better than any of ours.
Because he's.
Mate.
Elected to remain single and sleep with new hot models every on a constant rotation.
What can he possibly be upset about? Fuck
you, mate. Like, anybody that thinks, oh my God, it's so... Finally, fucking... Kill yourself, man. Mm. I can't believe that anyone is angry about him. Finally, justice has been served. Leo DiCaprio's got
finally,
an incredible
he's had
life.
A break.
Tell you what, though. Fair play to him. He does great accents.
But that is in complete contrast to other things in January, where we should have probably been saying that, which was like Iranian peace deals. They decided not to continue their nuclear program. It's like, oh, that is the main news. But yeah, okay.
All right, Trevor McDonald. Oh,
Jesus, are you a schizophrenic?
Dude, I mean,
he had his laptop out for 15 minutes to get one sentence out. I mean, Iranian peace deals.
And he thought he's going to drop that in like, I have no more information on the subject.
Because my laptop is now closed. Well, there you go. Can you open the laptop again? Because we're going to move on to February.
What do you need?
February events.
We talking about movies or anything else just like that?
Can I hear a bit more about the peace deals, how they went in February?
Have you got any notes on the years?
Sorted it by February, had they?
It was all done.
It's a hell of a January. As soon as they went, hang on, look, if DiCaprio can finally get...
If we finally adjust DiCaprio,
then maybe we can see... they said that they believe that children are the future... I think they said, but yeah.
someone can take the lead on February.
I think the one thing I text these two to do was make some notes on what's happened each month in the year.
Yeah, I've got other topics.
You've asked Stu if he's got any notes on February. He's currently looking like he's never seen a phone switch on before.
He's just got a list of words, and it's not a long list.
Right. Chris, yeah. It was Valentine's in February. Did Craig have any stories from Valentine's Day?
Oh, no. I think he's had zero from Valentine's Day. No, I think he was just keeping up to date with current events. Nuclear arms deals.
Yeah. I'd love to take you out, but things are really hotting up in Iran. Yeah. I need to deal with this.
It's very difficult to maintain an erection while things are going on as they are in Iran.
I tried to book a table, but I won't be back for the news at 10, and I don't like to Sky Plus it.
So zero, I'm afraid. I'm sorry, Brett. Yeah,
that's all right.
It's nothing.
Stu, have you got any? Does anyone know anything that happened in February?
I think Fabric got ordered with its notice.
Right. So that. What did you think on it? I was really confused on that because obviously we've got the Say Why to Drugs podcast. It's all about education on drugs. Truthful education and the facts of it. The big belief I've had from talking to tons of people at Leap UK and all sorts of other things that if you think drugs are bad, then if you don't want people dying from drugs or kids taking drugs, then we need to legalize all drugs because that's how you govern things and get them under control. The survey they did in recent years was saying that 12 to 16 year olds or 12 to 18 year olds. All find it far easier to get weed and pills and coke than they do to get alcohol because your drug dealer doesn't ask for ID. They take your money and you get your drug. So a better way, and no one buys illegal alcohol. Like no one's buying black market alcohol. The whole argument is, oh, there'll still be dealers. It's like, it's not really the case. It won't really last. You can't compete. As soon as big companies get involved, you can't undercut them. The market value on drugs is down to the risk in importing it, in dealing it, and so on and so forth. If that risk is removed, then big companies can slash the price on it and it can be governed and kept under control. But it was a weird one because the fact is at Fabric, most people, or when I used to go there, it was to get off my face on drugs.
It's not necessarily a great thing, right? I saw like Goldie lost his shit when he was doing the interview to BBC, right?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I went to Fabric and had a great time there. But the same time, like if you look at it, like the black and white facts of the matter, people died there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't say that it's okay for that to happen because Fabric's got a rich history. Like, I get it, and I know that Fabric has a lot of fond memories for everybody, but the fact of the matter is, if they're not fucking policing it properly, then it's a problem.
That was exactly my stance. It's weird. I had a lot of people asking me to try and get behind the campaign. It's like, right, I don't agree with it being closed.
Yeah.
But I also don't think you can just ignore repeatedly people go, or the fact that everyone goes there to do fucking drugs. Yeah. Everyone knows it.
How many people have died? Is it three in total? Or?
I'm not sure. I think,
it's about three in total off the top of my head. off the top of my laptop.
I had a really busy Valentine's Day, so I can't really.
the thing is, it's an unpopular view to be in favour of fabric clothing, and yep. I'm not in favour of fabric clothing, and I'm glad that that's been resolved now. But at the same time, you can't just give them blanket because they've had a rich history of clubbing. You can't just go, it's okay that people have fucking had that situation. Do you know what I mean?
No, I agree.
I just think it's a very naive attitude to take. Do you know what I mean?
Completely agree. It's something needed and still needs to. Like now they've got the license back and all that, but you still, again, if it's known as the place you go to do drugs, then that's not really too acceptable. Exactly. That's going to be a problem. That's going to be dangerous.
I don't know. I mean, I agree. That's what we, you know, our exposure to fabric was good music and drugs. But I don't know. Like, I haven't been there. Now in this day and age to know, you know, exactly what the mentality is and what the kids are doing. But I do think there isn't more of an inherent problem with the supply of drugs in itself.
Yeah.
If people are going there. Because Fabric's a wicked club, it plays awesome music.
Yeah.
And getting drugs into clubs is the easiest thing in the world.
Like, yeah, but the thing is, I think with things like that is if you want to take drugs in a club, it should be an effort to do it. Like you should have to actively pursue that.
Yeah, 100%.
That decision.
It should be a challenge.
Yeah. It shouldn't be that you feel pressured to do it, and if you don't, then that's a decision. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I think. And I think in the case of Fabric, the impression I got was if you're taking drugs at Fabric, that was the norm. And if you didn't want to take drugs, that was almost like you had to fucking take a stance like being a vegan or some shit. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think that's the problem with something like that. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know what their door policy is. I can't say because I haven't been there recently, but I don't know what their door policy is. But even a stringent door policy on drugs is kind of difficult to still completely police it. I agree. Again, by the way, I'm playing devil's advocate.
True. I think there's
a culture there. I do agree with that, and that needs to be handled. But also, it is kind of fucking difficult. And if you're playing a sort of acts that Fabric do, and something that when they went to their council meetings, the council was saying things that everyone laughed at, but and they made a big thing about it. It was like, well, the council was saying, well, can you play a slower tempo music? And everyone scoffed at that because it does sound.
Well, can you say it sounds dumb?
But at the same time, when you do, like, we put on club nights, so you know we've put on a multitude of club nights. And the ones where it is more like R&B, I don't have people watching their own brains all night long.
Yeah,
so again, it's this thing of it's an unpopular thing to say, and people don't talk about it because they don't want to be seen as, well, you're fucking out of touch.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
you're
uncle.
Yeah, true. But the thing is, like,
you've done club nights for years.
He's done decades. 8 to 9 slots, mate.
You know what I mean? That's where shit gets real.
He's had people ask him to turn it down at 8 till 9.
Exactly.
Fucking hell. I'm handing out drugs during Tuesdays.
I've been off my head when they've dropped Pony at 10:15. Do you know what I mean? No, but the thing is, like, the licensing office, it came across the press like, all of a sudden, just shut Fabric. Do you know what I mean? It weren't like that. There would have been ongoing meetings with licensing officers going, you need to act on this, you need to act on this.
That's why I don't quite feel the argument of I've not been there in a long time, because I've not, but still, it wouldn't just have gone,
but
right,
look what
run things
done.
Up. It's going to be of a continued and consistent thing.
Look what they've done in Brick Lane. When we done, what was the venue we done in Brick Lane with Gary Libertines? What was that party?
What, Brick Lane?
Yeah. And it was a big venue in Brick Lane. Because they
93 Feet East.
No, because
Vibe Bar.
Vibe Bar. Yep.
Basically,
I know all the clubs, mate.
93 Feet East had its license chopped to midnight, I believe, or 1 o'clock, because there was such an influx of people coming into Brick Lane that we just
to get
nutted.
It was crazy, I must say. It was.
And then with Vibe Bar, it was written in our deal when we put a night on there that we weren't allowed to play house music.
No, really?
And it was just, it was really strange. And it was a case of, like, they had a DJ that they supplied in the DJ booth whilst we were DJing that should licensing turn up or the police turn up, he had to go on and play this certain style of music. You can't run a club not like that.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
It was the most surreal thing. Also,
that was kind of quick, though, because they kind of just went from, like, this was this crazy, like, nexus for, like, deep house music to, like, we want to put on this like, your big night is now hip-hop, which was what we're doing, like, classic hip-hop.
Yeah.
And it just, like, everyone showed up and everyone's like, I'm buzzing off my nuts. Can you play some, you know, house music?
Again, that's kind of a valid choice, though, as a promoter, right? If you're choosing to benefit from that crowd or to push them away. I know that we did a Lizards a few times in Southend. And the last time we did it there, and I said to Stu that night, I'm not sure if you were there or not, but I said that night that I'm never coming back because two people got roofied. Hmm. And I was like, I don't want to do a night where scumbags are coming in and roofying people and acting. It's like, that's not the kind of, like, we've never had that kind of shit at Lizards, at any of the other ones. It's like, right, if that's what's going on, if this is the crowd we've got there, I'd rather not go back and not have their money and fuck them off than be in that kind of thing. It's like,
that's a sad shame, it's man, because that place was dope. That was like a nexus for Southend. It's a burger joint now.
Yeah, it is.
Because you took your club night away.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yes, because
closed roof, down.
Serious roofied two girls.
But yeah, it's weird. You do have a choice of the kind of crowd you earn off of. And it's why book club's always been great. They're not harsh about it, but they try and encourage a good crowd. And they try and not to have people in who are just off their nuts or just, you know, going from party to party, going, you know. And it means that we've always had... Like, we've rarely had any trouble at all at Book Club, have we? In 4 years of doing the shows there, it's never been... I've been any grief. And then, again, that's a conscious choice.
Am I making a lot of noise? No,
that's all I can hear.
Well, we're going to wrap...
That's a star being knocked off this one.
And we're going to wrap this episode up. And then on the next one, we're going to start in, like, March and start to actually try and go through some months, if we've got any notes on any of the months.
I've got some stuff.
From March.
March was a hell of a
March
month.
March was the big month.
For a mesh. Right, well, we'll go and we'll see you in a bit.
You've been listening to Scrooby's Picks, the Scratch Piece.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.